Before we begin today, we'd like to acknowledge that our work takes place on the lands of the Turrbal, Jagera and Wurundjeri peoples whose sovereignty was never ceded. We pay our respect to their elders past, present and emerging. From MediGuild, this is Tea Brief.
We're Bells,
Nikki
and Noah.
You meet on your ward round and you're like, wow, there's so many passionate people here. They're all doctors and they're all attractive, you know? And it creates an environment, you know?
It's just your casual, like, falling for your, like, consultant reg, PHO resident.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just never happened before.
Two med students and one intern who debrief from our weeks over a nice cup of tea. Hello, welcome back to a long-awaited episode 3. We have had such a massive hiatus between, you know, me catching COVID and then us going on holiday and Belle's just being crazy busy with work.
How long has it been since we've last recorded? I think it was before I started Gen Med.
Yeah, you were happier. You were much happier when we last recorded.
It's been a hectic time.
So today we're drinking Dilma Infusions rooibos tea with moringa, chili, cocoa and cardamom. What are our initial thoughts?
It has some spice.
It's got a kick, hey?
There is a certain kick to it. It does have a kick to it. It's nice. It's very soothing. Mm.
It's better than that trash chili cocoa tea I had before in the previous episode. Noah?
I really rate this tea. It's like chai and rooibos and I don't know, they did something right. I think they did something right.
Yeah, it's very smooth, a good balance. And we also have to ask our very special guest on this episode, Other Noah, how are you? Tell us about yourself and tell us about the tea.
Hello, hello. Thank you very much for the introduction. I'm Noah, Noah with an H though this time, so a bit of an upgrade. New but not improved, I would say. So the tea, I actually couldn't get this very tea because I went to about 4 different supermarkets and they didn't stock it. And the final one said it was reduced to clear and it was out. So that either means it was very good or very, very bad. But I've got a different brand that's cocoa and coconut rooibos infusion, but no chili. So I feel like it's quite nice. It's a little bit bland and I feel like with the spice, like you're describing, it could actually be quite good. It does say smooth and decadent. I'd say smooth, but I don't know that I'd say decadent, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels like it would, like this one as well, I agree. It smells better than it tastes. Well, how has everyone's weeks been? What has everyone been up to before we get to why we're here with Noah for this episode?
Sorry, can I just say, I'm so sorry in advance for the viewers and listeners. This is going to get real confusing real quick. Get ready for an episode of just pure and utter chaos with two Noahs.
So how about we use my alter ego name, Havana, if we'd like.
Yes.
So Havana is my drag name, and that doesn't go as close to Noah as Noah with an H does. So we can use that instead.
Fantastic. We love it.
Excellent. Okay. So how has everyone's week been?
I always go first, and I don't want to go first.
Noah, do you want to go first? Start us off.
So I'm on Gen Med at the moment. I'm feeling Bell's pain. I've been on Gen Med for a week. I've been on exactly one ward round.
Wait, is it because the ward round lasted a whole week? Is that why?
No. It's because my reg was hating life so much in this job and trying to live vicariously through me. That in the first 15 minutes, I got kicked off the ward round and told to go home.
I love that.
That's nice. But does it help get a reference, though?
I mean,
feel like you need those, especially on Gen Med.
Yeah, look, I'm still helping the intern and things, so I'm sure it'll get whispered down. But that's pretty much all I need to say about
Gen
Med.
You know what? I actually want to end with how Havana's week's been going because I feel like we'll need something happy after Bells tells us how his week's
been
going.
Yes, we will. It's been fine. It's been getting a lot better. So for context, since last we spoke, I have started Gen Med as an intern, which is very different to Gen Med as a medical student. With Gen Med as a medical student, you stay for the ward round. Sometimes you can say you have class. I encourage my medical students to say at like 12, like, if you have class, you can go. No one will hold this against you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, the days just get very long. The first week was quite brutal. I did cry on my second day. Mm. It's a very stressful job, but my ability to deal with the stress has improved. And I'm accepting of the fact that I will do normally between 2 to 3 hours of overtime daily.
Are you getting paid for the overtime?
Yes.
Good. Oh, my God.
We are very happy about that.
Oh, thank God.
We are very happy about that. I have never been taxed so much in my life. It's been a very good week regardless. I've been having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy that I passed the halfway point. That's for Gen B.
I think we have to celebrate all these little milestones as you get through a rotation you don't enjoy.
With some bland chili tea.
Yeah,
smooth but not decadent. Yeah. Okay, Nikki, you're up.
All right, guys, I'm on plastics, as we discussed in the last episode. No one wanted to swap purely because I was too lazy to ask anyone to swap with me. I love it. It is so much fun. And I realized the reason I love it and I was like, oh, I could totally do this as a career, like I say about anything, is because I'm at a private hospital, first of all. So it's not the plastics you see in like a big tertiary center where everyone is working 20 hours overtime every day. It's so much more relaxed. And also, I leave before 4 p.m. every day. The Reg and Pietro were there till like 10 at least, I reckon. And I'm like, this is a great life. I don't know why people complain about it. But no, it's been good. We've had some like pretty chill cases. We've had some wild ones as well. But like, we don't see any of the trauma like you were mentioning before, Noah, with like hand anatomy and stuff. There was only one that we had. But it's mostly all cosmetic things. And I gotta say, like, I stand in those procedures and I'm like, damn, that looks really good. I could have that done. It just looks so good.
Do you get a quote from the surgeon? It's just like, how much does that cost?
Yeah, just out of
takes mind. Vigorous notes.
Asking for a friend. But no, it has been really good. I've been super useful as a med student. When the Reg is doing a surgery, I answer his phone and I hold it up to him on speaker and then I put it down. And then when it calls again, I hold it up again and then put it down. So I'm super useful, guys.
If there's not a better way to get a reference, I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I need. I was like, I'm sure he will agree. And I mean, I don't really do much else. It's pretty good. Yeah, that's all.
10 out of 10. We love it.
Havana, how has your week been? What are you up to?
Well, how has my week been? I'd say I've had a pretty busy week, which is nice. I'm actually on Gen Med A at the moment. Gen Med. So that's been a nice change. My last two rotations have been quite niche and specific. So I was first on NICU at the Children's and then hematology at Peter Mac.
Oh.
So interesting, fascinating, but very specific. Mm-hmm. So it's actually been good to be on Gen Med. It's been a relatively light week. Well, I've made it a relatively light week because I've had a lot else on. But yeah, no, really enjoying it so far. It's been going well. I got a mallet this week.
That is.
Which is a bit radical.
Can I see it?
It's subtle.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it's there.
It is very subtle. I didn't even notice you had it.
Oh, yeah, it's more just where the fade is, and then I'll let it grow out a little bit. The hairdresser was like, babes, no, don't make me. But I persisted, and I'm happy with it.
So I'm amazed that you persisted, because I think when a hairdresser just tells me no to something, I'm like, okay, I'm so scared, sure. I just accept it. What a ridiculous suggestion by me.
Yeah, I'm sorry for even saying it. Yeah. this hairdresser and I actually get along well. But no, it turned out well. We both agreed. And what I kind of reasoned, I was like, let's just do it and see how it looks and we can always
change
it. Yeah,
I like that.
And then I won. So that's great.
Love it.
And then Friday night I had a party down in Geelong, actually, a friend's party. That was Studio 54 themed.
Ooh.
She's like a really iconic club, I think back in the 80s or 90s. Very big with Bianca Jagger and Mick Jagger and et cetera. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I was out last night and it was amazing and had a really good boogie until 3 a.m.
You had the best of all of our weeks put together, I think.
My roof is leaking onto my television.
Oh, my God. I was in bed at 9 p.m. and thrilled about it.
You are living the life. What am I doing? I got a parking fine today and I'm just salty. That's what I did today.
Look, I knew the topic of this podcast and I was also just trying to get content. So, you know.
Love you. All the more for it.
Speaking of your far more busy and excellent social life compared to us, why we've called you here today, Havana, is we wanted to discuss dating in med as a med student and the vast variety of experiences everyone has. It was probably our most popular episode last season, and we had to bring it back and hear from someone else. And when Noah told us about you and told us that you're more than willing to share. We were super excited, so we're here for it. How has it been? What is dating like as a mystery
to you? I think the words Noah originally used was, we want someone with candid spice and chaos, and we thought of you. And I was very flattered, and I hope I can live up to that, Noah. But yeah, I guess dating in med school is many, many things. It's very fun. There's a lot of complexity to it, I feel often. There's almost a lot of intersectionality to it as well. I feel like being queer and having that kind of perspective, as I've been thinking of the topic, I think how that impacts dating in med school is something that's really fascinating, interesting, and something that I've thought a lot about. But that aside, to come back to, I feel like there's the typical balancing med life and balancing med school, and do you want all your life to be med school, or do you want some of your life, and do you want a bit of diversity, or do you want similarity, and all of that typical stuff I feel like that we all probably relate to. Then I guess a second aspect is, I find ambition and motivation and passion like very attractive. And when you're around all these very professional people, you can be on your ward round and you're like, wow, there's so many passionate people here. They're all doctors and they're all attractive, you know? And it creates an environment, you know?
It's just your casual, like, falling for your, like, consultant reg, PhD resident.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just never happened before. You know? And there's almost that crossover of, like, wow, you're very passionate. And I feel like it's... you know, just polycircumstantial more than anything and situational. But I feel like that's something I've reflected on as well, is what's the common factor here?
Do you feel like you stand there being like, am I attracted to you, or is your brain just very big? Like,
yeah. Exactly. It's like, wow. Or is it just the fig scrubs, you know? They're very nice.
Yeah, figs are nice, hey?
Not sponsored.
If only, though. If only... Please.
Yes.
You should be.
Okay, what are the big challenges you found so far of dating within med?
You know, I think this goes back to, like, so I definitely identify as queer, as a queer male. And I think something I've thought a lot about is, you know, I've kind of come out properly over the course of med school. And when I first came into med school, I was very much in the closet to myself and very... I'd say very not authentic and really struggling with that. And over med school, it's really helped me to come out and properly express myself. And I feel like now I am very authentic, and that's really important to me. But it's kind of brought a lot of challenges with it in terms of professionalism, both in all, you know, quote unquote professionalism. And that is in how I express myself, which then obviously carries over into how I express myself in dating and in romantic, you know, the romantic side of my life. And I think when we're in a profession such as medicine, like, you almost do have to think about it a little bit more, because, you know, there's more at stake. We're in a professional environment where it matters in a way.
Yeah. And people care and people judge and watch.
So I think something I've thought a lot about is how do I express myself authentically and stay true to myself, and then juggle that with, you know, this concept of professionalism and how much do I say, how much do I express, how open do I be? And I think, you know, over time I've really, really firmly come to the decision that I will just be me. I'll be very authentic. Because I think too, there's a lot to be said for the social construct of professionalism and what that actually means, what that embodies. And I think a lot of minority groups in general, broadly, often don't fit into the broader narrative of what professionalism is. And I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of research, a lot of data behind that. But just speaking more broadly, who deems what professional is, and do we respect them? Is it, you know, is it more of a patriarchal society? Is it, you know, old male, white and, what is it? Old male and stale, as they say.
I love that. I have never heard that, but I love it.
It's like, you know, the Harvard white guy, you know, old male and stale.
Yeah.
And it's like, why would I uphold that? And I actually I've spoken to a few professional mentors who I really respect about this, and say, how much, for example, how much do I share on social media? You know, how quote unquote authentic / spicy, for want of a better word, do I be? And she did say, if you're wanting to go down a surgical pathway, the reality is, you know, you do need to be a bit more careful.
Yes.
But I'm hoping to go more into a GP pathway and into a specialised queer kind of sexual mental health kind of space. And she said her professional advice was be your best you and show it all. And by being authentic, you will be the best for you and your patients. And I really believe that and I stand by that. So I guess, you know, bringing it back to dating in med school, I feel like queer dating in general can be and look very different to what I perceive as kind of more heteronormative dating can be. You know, you can dabble in, I mean, there's so many different spectrums and such a varied, like a varied way you can do it. But like for, I think, you know, ethical non-monogamy and kind of casual dating and casual sex and all of these things you can experience and try and enjoy, I think are more common in queer spaces often. And I think it's, yeah, and I think those often wouldn't fall into the social construct of what professionalism often is. So, yeah, I feel like bringing it back, that's something I really thought about and something I feel quite comfortable and, you know, quite good with now. And obviously, you know, I don't just blurt it out to everyone, but I catch me on a good day and you'll hear a story, I can guarantee.
Just for everyone listening at home, Havana and I actually met in med camp right before the beginning of med school. So I feel like I've kind of watched your journey from afar almost. And gosh, you were so inspiring. And I mean, I'm not sure if you get told that a lot, but even I myself, who I identify as heterosexual, I identify as cisgender, I identify as a woman, even I, like, just being yourself within your personality without those, I guess, what professionalism would perceive as difference, is difficult. And I love watching you live your best life. You know, like seeing what you post on social media makes me smile.
That's really lovely.
I just want to say that, you know, applying for jobs and even if you were to go down a surgical pathway, I think it would speak a lot to a hospital. It would speak a lot to the heads of department that would accept you for who you are and embrace that. And that's what we want hospitals. That's what we want healthcare institutions to actually embody, and they just don't.
Yeah. This is a change we need to start seeing now. And I think it does start with us because it hasn't really happened till now.
Mm.
And I feel like, you know, Havana, someone like you who is so inspiring is the kind of person I see starting to create that change and letting others feel who are in similar positions to what you were in when you started med school, feel like they also can be so unapologetically themselves and still be great doctors. Like, it's not separate in any way. And it should not be perceived like that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really, really lovely to hear. I really appreciate it. And I think you are right. And it does also come back to what is the price I'm willing to pay to not be authentic? You know, and would I even want to work at a hospital that I'd need to censor myself or change myself and not be authentic? And I think, you know, say I did want to go down that pathway and a couple of hospitals did turn me down, that is a pretty small sacrifice to pay in exchange for finding a hospital that you can be authentic for or with and then starting to create that change. And that's something I am really passionate about now. And also I think visibility is something I am incredibly passionate about as well. And people often ask me, or not often, but people have asked me, you know, why are you always so gay? Or why are you, you know, why is your Instagram so much or so loud or so this? And, you know, yes, you're gay, but it's only one side of you. What about all the other sides? And I think it is one part of me, but it is a part of me and I will not turn it off. And I think seeing other queer people living their best life growing up and when I was struggling with my identity and, you know, shame and internalized homophobia, it was so inspiring. And I would say for a small part, it kept me here, you know, and it was very important to me. And I think I'm just so passionate about being my most fearless, just, you know, ferocious queer self in the best way I can, you know, and showing that and being proud of it and loving it. You know, like I love being me. I love being queer. And, you know, a big turning point was if I could choose it, I would 100% every time. And I think showing that and letting that flow through, you know, in medicine and in every different area, you know, I think it's really important for the next generation, for everyone else, and even just not for queer identity, for any identity and authentic expression. As you were saying, Noah, you know, like that kind of mentality, I think, is important whoever you are.
Yeah, that is actually amazing to hear. And I think what you're doing is fantastic. And speaking of, you know, being your authentic self and, you know, dating in med school, we have to know, what would be your dating advice? Because I feel like Noah and I have been in long-term relationships for a super long time. Bells, actually, guys, from our last episode, has gotten into one.
This because I was chronically...
single.
I was chronically single.
Yeah. So I just feel out of touch so often, and I feel like our listeners could use some good advice.
Oh, where to start? I think firstly... again, just being fearlessly authentic and doing what feels right for you, whether that's casual in whatever way that looks for you, whether that's, you know, a monogamous long-term relationship, whether that's some, you know, spectrum on the open poly side of things. There are so many different forms and so many different ways you can be intimate with other humans and get connection. And I think, you know, there's just so many ways that it can be done, and just, you know, you can find out what works for you. And as long, you know, people say as long as you're not hurting someone or doing anything illegal, go for your life, try things out, see what works. I think it can be fun to dabble with people in your workplace, but it can also be very problematic.
Oh, my gosh. Do tell.
Actually, nothing. Oh, gosh. Okay, two things. A friend tried to set me up with a doctor at a hospital. It just didn't gel, I guess you'd say. And then I had to see them every day on ward rounds. Mm-hmm. And... they had to sign off all my assessments, and it was just,
oh,
like, it was fine. We both smiled, but it was a forced smile. And that's okay. You know?
Did you realize, so you were just, like, attracted or big brain? You're like, just big brain, oh, not attracted.
The first time I met them, they came to a house party, and I was off my face. And I made vegan brownies in the kitchen. And anyway, story for another day. But it is a story. And I think I've also heard from other people with similar experiences where, you know, it's gone well and it hasn't gone well. So I would just say tread with caution. For example, I, you know, had intimate times with a nurse on one of my previous rotations, and it was lovely. You know, ongoing, friends, bit of stuff, and it's mm-hmm. beautiful, you know?
So it ended well.
Very good.
That sounds so nice.
Sometimes it does not.
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, which is why tread with caution and intention, I would say.
Sage advice.
And, you know, the final tip I would say is be prepared for intimacy. Recently, I was not prepared and I used bio oil instead of lube. And let me tell you, it does not work well. It's not a good time. It's not a good time at the time or the next day. And yeah, you have a bit of a sore boom boom all around.
So we love it. That's so
be
funny.
Intentional, be prepared, and be safe.
Oh my god. I love that.
Just full of sage advice.
This isn't the content I expected in this episode, but it's excellent. Yeah.
Be safe.
You know.
And prepared. I'm so here for this.
Well, I don't know if I actually explained Havana's full title. So Havana is, you know, my drag alter ego persona. And, you know, a bit of a Barbie doll, bit of a princess diva, which I don't know where that comes from. I don't know who, but, you know, she just does. And the second name / the surname can create the acronym you want. And it's very versatile. And she's a queen for every scene. So it can be Havana G'day for the kids. It can be Havana Cocktail, which is usually Monday through Sunday. It can be Havana Wank, because doctors do recommend that. And finally, it can be Havana Abortion, your choice. And everything else in between, I ride motorbikes. It can be Havana Ride. On my birthday was Havana Birthday. So really, it's just...
I love it.
It really is, right? So now it's Havana Tea Time, you know?
That's so good.
No, Havana Tea Brief, I should
Havana
say.
Havana Tea Brief.
It's so versatile.
Havana Tea Time. I am obsessed. I think you have the best drag name I've ever heard, objectively.
Imagine if you were like, oh, I just... part of me just wants you to do like a doctor drag. So
yeah,
like
I was going to say, do you have medical drag?
That's my long-term career aspirations are to be a GP specializing in queer and trans kind of healthcare spaces. I'm very passionate about that. Also kind of sexual reproductive healthcare, mental healthcare, and kind of women's healthcare. All areas I'm very passionate about. But something I'm also really passionate about is like education within like high schools and kind of adolescent spaces as well. And I also love drag. I'm only just getting started, but I definitely have aspirations to over time build up, you know, acquire a strong persona, incorporate that with my medical foundation and kind of that more professional educated base and combine the two into what I hope to be quite a powerful, you know, tool for change. And I hope to eventually do kind of sex ed in schools or whatever framework I choose, whether that's, you know, within a GP clinic setting or within a school setting or a bit broader. I would love to be a drag queen doctor, sex educator, who's quite like socially and politically active on the side. And honey, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to fuck shit up and it's going to be great. And I'm very excited.
Can you be my GP?
Oh, thank you. I mean, I hope so. Look, as long as I'm a good one, I'm okay.
I'm just thinking, can I go back in time to like when you're like the sex ed like demonstrator? And can I be there? Can I witness that in all its glory?
I would be honored.
You're going to be the best GP.
Agreed.
I mean, sex education is an entire topic on itself. And what sets you up better for dating in medicine than good sex ed when you're younger? And dating in any profession, like, there is so much research and so much to be said for the power and empowerment that comes from good sexual education. Even, you know, from kind of a medical viewpoint of STI rates and you know, abortions and or unwanted pregnancies. Like, it's so impactful. And then the shame, the, you know, your relationship with sex and intimacy, where you learn sex from, is it porn or is it, you know, there's just so much to it. And there's also a lot to be said for how vulnerable children are to sexual abuse and harm in that way. If they have good sexual education, it empowers them to know what they want and what they don't want in their early years and beyond. And I think that would be an amazing space to get into.
I feel like you are such a perfect fit for that. I feel like we've like captured you and we've just tapped into this hub of like incredible wisdom. I don't know about you guys. I've absolutely loved this.
I'm obsessed right now. This is so good.
Oh, I am flattered.
We needed this content. And like,
thank you.
We need to make sure more voices like yours as well are heard. Because what you're doing is amazing for, like, not only the medical community, but like you said, when you're talking about educating children and younger people, it's a public health issue. It is a massive public health issue, and that's where it starts, like you said. If you have good sex education early on, imagine what it would mean for future generations when they come to, you know, be our age. And there's so much more aware, there's so much more education around consent, STIs, everything.
I think it can really be a huge game changer, and it can also impact how you access healthcare, how you access preventative healthcare moving forward, you know, like safe sex practices and also just the fulfillment you get out of your dating life and your sex life. Like, it's just the flow-on effects are huge. And I just as a disclaimer, I will say, obviously, sexual education in younger people has to be age appropriate, and there is a lot of research informing what that kind of can look like, just as a disclaimer. But in an age appropriate manner, if you deliver this content to empower and inform, I think it can be transformative and very impactful.
And then if anything were to happen, like, I just keep on thinking about people in their getting into the late teens, early 20s, let's say someone ends up falling pregnant to whatever kind of capacity, just knowing what resources are out there, or heaven forbid there's some kind of assault, they just know what they can access in terms of how to get support, how to get help, because it's just going through my late teens, early 20s, seeing other friends going through X and Y and Z. It's just, it's always ends up being such lots of word of mouth, like what one other friend knows who can tell you about all these resources that are out there.
I'll just say, like, from the place that I went to high school, which I will not disclose, my sex education was literal neon dildos. Like, there were neon colored dildos.
Were they at least pretty colors?
They were pretty colors, but they were like sparkly, and it was just So unnecessary.
They were sparkly.
And they had suction cups on them. I have no idea where the school ordered them. But the thing is that by the end of the sex ed class, all of them had been suction cupped to the ceiling.
Oh, and nice. That was, it's a bit hard to write them up there, but, you can try.
But the point being is that, I went to a public school that sex ed and health ed generally wasn't well funded. And to be honest, I think 100% we could have used someone like you. I'm sad to say I'm the only person that ended up in medicine, I think, in the last 5 or 6 years from my high school. And, I think someone like you actually being present in that space could inspire so many youths that don't think they can do it, that don't think they fit in that professional sphere, to go and actually do what they want to achieve.
I do have to ask, based on this and how much education around these topics needs to be improved, did you have experiences, because I had this in medical school, where, mind you, post-grad med as well, we come into it and, we have our first, lessons on reproduction and things like that from a medical's perspective, and we talk about, actual cases that have happened and also, the made-up ones that we do in CBL. I was genuinely shocked by the lack of education that so many people and so many of my peers had around the matter. I was so, so shocked. And they didn't seem to care to learn as well and didn't seem to see that as an issue, that it was lacking in knowledge. I don't know if you've had any experiences like that.
Do you mean information around kind of sex and sexuality and dating, or, yeah?
Yeah, yes, yeah, sex and sexuality and what that means in a healthcare sphere.
I think, so I grew up homeschooled and had absolutely no sex ed other than Wikipedia. And I think, I think I'm lucky that I'm a very curious person. For better or worse, I found my information. But yeah, I think there are a lot of people who just don't have access or don't have, exposure to that information. And I think I have noticed in, people have such varied experiences, life exposures, and as you said, desires to actually find that information. And yeah, I think as doctors, it would be really important to at least have a base level of information to then empower your patients. Because I'm sure we've all sadly had exposure to this in some way, shape or form, to, people who have experienced sexual assault, sexual harassment, kind of those kind of traumas, and how that then impacts on the health of a patient in so many different ways. So I think it is, to both empower and effectively treat patients, I think it is a really important topic to discuss quite openly and being informed on.
Yeah. That's really
Does that answer the question?
That does answer the question, yeah, definitely.
Do you have any kind of thing that you'd want to promote or send listeners to inform themselves more if they wanted to know more?
I think stay curious and know where you get your information from and get it from trusted sources, and try and be open-minded with the information you get. I think a couple of things like safe sex is so important, and that can kind of be in so many different ways, knowing about PrEP, knowing about the pill and the different forms of the pill and the different ways that pregnancy control methods that are out there. Even just being educated on those base things, like a lot of people say, oh, the pill doesn't, isn't good or doesn't work for me. And that is true. There is a very, very well documented problematic history there. But for what it's worth, there are different methods and they're all quite different. And trying to find something that works for you is similar to finding an antidepressant that works for you. And, there's just so much to it. And I think also a really quick point to do here is a lot of people get their sex ed from porn, which, for better or worse, but I think often for worse, and I think there's a bit of research and a bit of, data to show that. But there are kind of websites out there to empower your sexuality through kind of pornographic content, but in an educational, wholesome, kind of like a really nice way. And there are like ethical porn sites. There's kind of websites dedicated to the pleasure and stimulation of AFAB, so assigned female at birth, people with vaginas. And they're very interactive. They're kind of, I don't know, I'm pretty gay, so I found it pretty interesting. But there's so many resources out there to learn about sex and sexuality in really nice ways. So, yeah.
where's a good place for people to start getting on this journey?
Oh, gosh. Sadly, I feel like that's hard to answer because, like, the questions people have are going to be so different based on your experiences. So for me as a man who has sex with men, I know there's a porn site called Himeros that's just, you know, they have tantric counselors and therapists, and like the content they produce is so wholesome, and it's got such a different vibe, you know. But obviously that wouldn't work for many people. And then there is that website, it's called, oh gosh, I forget what it's called, but there's just so many different resources catered to different groups. So I don't know like a broad one to suggest, but I guess find a healthcare practitioner if you can. I know it's hard, but who specializes in healthcare of these spaces, who is informed in a broader sense, and kind of ask the questions that are specific to you and get resources that are specific to you. I don't know how to answer it better than that, because what resources are good?
It's very definitely very broad.
It is, you know, and like there's Sakaza and there's so many resources for sexual assault or for, you know, empowerment in different areas. And I think trying to get good information from trusted sources, yeah, I don't know that there's one right way to do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But try and find a GP and educated in it, I would say as well. And ask your friends.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, and I think that's really sound advice. Before we wrap this episode up, we have three questions that we ask. Well, we will be asking each of our guests, and you as our first one will get it first.
Amazing.
Our first question. Yeah. So our first question is, what is your favorite tea?
Oh, okay. I love licorice root tea. Just licorice tea. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of licorice itself, but licorice tea, I feel like it's quite different and I just love it. And if you get the loose tea, you can combine it with different flavors. So you can put a bit of cinnamon in there or a bit of, yeah, I love licorice tea.
Okay, well, I think we can never be friends now. I hate licorice tea so much.
Well, you know what? We're complimentary then, let's say that. I should have done my research.
It's like, wow, you brought in the one tea.
This was
we
a very divisive
about.
Point on a previous TV episode.
Okay, well,
maybe it was
I think
planned.
Noah wins that one. Second question is, if you weren't doing medicine, what would you be doing?
Oh gosh, I struggle with this because there are so many careers that I would have loved to do, and I can think I would have been really happy doing. But you know, I love medicine. I love what it can do for me and what enables me to do for the world. If I wasn't doing it though, I wonder if in another life I would have been some kind of performer and taken, you know, drag a bit bigger, started dance a bit earlier. And, you know, and I'm definitely pursuing that on the side and I love it and it's a part of my life. But yeah, maybe a RuPaul star, you know, RuPaul queen, traveling the globe,
yes.
Singer on the side, you know. Yeah. I could have also been a pilot. Would have loved to be a pilot.
That's
so,
cool.
You know,
that's very cool.
Who
you
knows?
You could still be a pilot.
I can on the side. How extravagant of me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we might.
Amazing.
And our third question before we actually give our final tea rating out of five. Our third question is, what TV doctor are you or would you be?
What TV doctor?
Yeah. So who do you want to be or what are you already? Either one.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think I might find this question hard because I don't watch many doctor TV shows, as tragic as that is. But I do know enough to say, I reckon I would want to be Dr. McSteamy.
Oh,
let's say that. I don't know much about the show.
100%.
Based on the meme, based on what I perceive from the name, I'm going to assume it's a good thing and just go with that. And I'm going to say I don't want to be Dr. House because just annoys. That's what it's called, isn't it? Dr. House?
Yeah.
House MD?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, frustrating human. Complex, get it, but yeah, would hate to work with them.
Alrighty, so what are our final thoughts on the tea and what are our ratings out of five?
It's nice. Gets a 3.5 from me.
That was so
I have no further comments to make.
Yeah. 3.5 is quite high,
Oh,
I would
that's
say.
Low for us.
Oh, is it? Okay. You know, it is growing on me. I would say a solid 3.4, I would say. And I think if it had the added spice, it would round it up to a 3.8. And when you combine the smell is quite nice.
Yeah, the smell is good.
3.4? It just keeps getting worse and worse. We're just rounding down at this point.
3.4.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give it... I think also like a 3.5 is pretty solid. I think this is nice. I did a little sneaky though, and I put some honey in it. So I think that's kind of why I like it a little bit more than I think.
So yours really is smooth and decadent.
So I highly recommend, if you're going to get this tea, to try out some different combinations. Even a squeeze of lemon could even be good in this.
That's fair. Look, the last cocoa chili tea we had, I rated it at -2, I think, because it had licorice in it. So this one is sitting at a solid 3.5 as well for me. I'm quite pleased with this one. I enjoy it. Well, thank you so much, Havana, for coming on this episode, chatting to us and chatting to all of our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a really nice chat, lovely opportunity, and you've said some really lovely words, which I really appreciate, and I'm honoured and flattered. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You are a gem. We should protect you at all costs.
Truly.
Aww. As are you all.
Tea Brief is a production of MediGuild, a community of med students and doctors who create resources and opportunities for other med students and doctors. Check out our work and become a member at MediGuild.com. To keep up to date with MediGuild, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at MediGuild. And finally, if you like what you heard for whatever reason, don't forget to click that big follow button on Spotify or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to follow our daily happenings at Tea Brief, you can follow us on Instagram at Tea Brief Podcasts. Slide into our DMs, share your favorite tea with us, and also your stories. We will make sure we share it in our Spill Your Tea section and review your teas in our next episode.